Okay. So, shall we start?
Yeah, let's get it started.
Excuse me. Evening.
Yeah, good evening. Wow, this is the first time I've been using I'm using my iPhone to talk to you guys.
Oh.
And this is the first time actually that I'm the one who's responsible for the recording. So hang on a minute. And I am in no way fit to operate that type of heavy machinery.
Oh, this is not a heavy machinery.
This is a very small program.
I'm very sorry if it will not be recorded.
Well, when you said heavy machinery, I imagined you operating a tractor or something.
No. Okay, how are you guys?
Well, I am superb, personally. I'm happy to hear you two again, and I'm happy to have been marked A today for an English language test. At university.
I don't think that it is so surprising.
Exactly.
Ash, what about you?
I'm good. Actually, yesterday I had a lot of plans for today. But today I overslept and I didn't do any of my plans. So it was a hectic day because I overslept and I had to do everything fast and quickly, and as a result, I'm not quite satisfied with today. So I'm a night person, and all my life I've been trying to become a morning person, unsuccessfully trying to become a morning person. So
I can't become a night person. I always fall asleep. Like, maximum for me is midnight. That's it, and after that I just fall asleep.
Well, it depends what time I have to get up the next morning. If I do not have to get up early, even if I plan to get up early, I will not. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I know, oh, come on. you know that it's not really important. You can sleep another couple of hours. So that's how it usually happens. What about you, Daniel? Are you a night person or a morning?
I am a very much overnight person, because at 1 or 2 a.m. I feel overwhelmed with energy and I absolutely don't feel like sleeping. So from that moment it doesn't matter for me which hour I'm going to sleep. I just spend this energy that I feel maybe for one hour or till 7 or 8 in the morning, and then I sleep my 6 hours, and so.
Night is my favorite part of the day. I love it. It's so productive.
I don't understand you guys. Like, the morning is like the most productive time of the day.
No, morning is the worst time of the day.
No, you are wrong. You are both wrong.
Well, in my case, I think it comes from the time back when I lived with my parents. In the morning, it's a crazy house. Everyone is up and they are talking, discussing things. Then my nephews are coming, come over, and they do their part, run around the apartment, you know. So during the day, again, it's very noisy. So you can't really concentrate on what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But when it's nighttime, everyone is sleeping, and so you can do whatever you want and nobody will disturb you. So I guess it comes from that time. So it's just a habit of many, many years. And it's romantic, isn't it? You can just sit at 2 a.m. and create something, and you know that it's not so many people are up at this time, and isn't it romantic?
So no. I very much doubt it. How's it romantic? You're sitting in complete darkness and no one is up. It's romantic when, for example, you wake up early in the morning and there are birds singing and, for
That's
example...
not romantic. It's boring. Come on. All right, I just envy you, actually.
She is the only sunshine that can pierce the clouds on the ever overcast St. Petersburg sky, and that can brighten up life in this gloomy and rain-soaked city. A lady with the dog, Asia.
Aww.
Tossing images in his head of monsters and heroes, cities and planets are spilling from his fingers onto pieces of paper, letting us be a part of his world. A beard grower and a beard defender, Daniel.
Well, my.
And also there is a person in the world that lives, but better say survives, only because of the anticipation of finally seeing the two I have already mentioned. Time is slow when you don't need it. Landish.
New conflict rhetoric in the Asian Pacific region. Two new leaders of China and Japan, Xi Jinping and Shinzo Abe respectively, exchanged statements of dissatisfaction over the Senkaku Archipelago situation. The Japanese see these islands as their territory, but the Chinese do the same. This confrontation is tens of years old, but a few days ago tension increased again as China bought from France parts to military helicopters, to which Japan responded with worry and warning. This tension is believed to be exacerbating further and further. China already can be called a warlike state because the military share of gross domestic product is constantly increasing, and some political personalities and parties in Japan call out to reinstate Japanese army, that is, again put into practice offensive technologies, which is actually forbidden by international law since Japan fought in alliance with Nazi Germany in the World War II.
I think that they're planning to dominate the world.
Actually, in the 1920s or 30s, it was Japan who attacked China, who tried to invade China. So I fear more the Japanese than the Chinese.
But they don't have an army.
They have defensive army, and actually Japan belongs to a number of states that can easily create nuclear weapons in a very short time. And, you know, from serious things to funny ones, Japanese Shinzo Abe made himself clear, saying that this tension can be overcome because the leaders of the greatest powers of the Asian Pacific, that is Japan, China and South Korea, are of the same generation and of the pretty much same age. For example, he is under 60 and the leaders of China and South Korea are a little bit over 60. But he omitted mentioning the brilliant comrade, who is only 30-something. Yeah. And I suppose that if he heard the Japanese leader saying that, he would be very offended.
How could they not acknowledge him? And I actually have a piece of news about China as well.
So today is the day of China.
Every day is the day of China. Right. Every day is the day of some kind of Asian news because...
Asia is so rich for events that we are going to speak about it almost every time.
Because our brilliant comrade lives there, yeah? So it is going to be a constant topic of our conversation. Okay, so my piece of news. China is selectively breeding a new generation of genius babies. The country attempts to boost the collective IQ of its citizens. Chinese parents will be able to select the most intelligent babies. This shouldn't come as a tremendous surprise. China passed its so-called eugenics law in 1994, which is formally called the Maternal and Infant Healthcare Law. I quote, "If prenatal tests reveal that a fetus has a serious hereditary disease or serious deformity, the physician may advise the pregnant woman to have an abortion, and the law states that the pregnant woman should follow his recommendations. The introduction of novel biotechnologies could allow the communist government to take its eugenic-like policies to the next level. But rather than just screen for a serious deformity, the Chinese may eventually eliminate any..." I hate this word. Hang on. Deleterious trait, like low IQ, for example, and instead develop positive and productive ones. I don't think that anything like that would happen in Europe, I think, or the United States, yeah? When a physician actually recommends an abortion, yeah, for a woman.
Well, I know in the Soviet time they used to recommend an abortion if something was wrong with the baby. My mom was recommended to do an abortion when she was pregnant with me. So I know that in the Soviet time there was something like that in Russia. But it's not that the pregnant woman had to follow this recommendation. It was always up to her, as far as I know.
Well, it says here that she should follow.
Should. Is it equal to must in this context, or?
I think that we can expect anything from China, so she probably must.
There is a certain demographic problem in China, so maybe there is. This is just one of the ways of solving it.
Yeah, and if a child is born. Well, he at least have to have a high IQ. We can't afford to have a child which has low IQ. Yeah, so better have a good one rather than a bad one.
But anyway, I mean, what do you guys think about prenatal tests, which reveal certain really serious diseases? How acceptable is it to recommend to do an abortion in this case?
Well, I'm not sure about abortion, but if you remember, we have a teacher who right now lives in Belgium. She's like 45, I'm not sure. She had two babies after she was 40, and they have a very good healthcare system in Belgium. When she was on her third month of bearing a baby.
She's not an elephant.
No, I'm just thinking about something different. And
well, do not be thinking about anything different when you're talking to us.
So anyway, they performed some tests. So they said that everything's fine. So they test the genes that surround the fetus. And they can say actually quite a lot about the health of the baby. So I think that's quite healthy. It's quite good for a woman to know if her baby is going to be a normal one, yeah, or not. Mm-hmm. But the issue of abortion, yeah, for example, if a baby is, I don't know, has some kind of genetic diseases, I don't know, it's very hard to say. But I can't say that I'm against abortion. For example, when a girl gets raped and she gets pregnant, I think that in this case, she can actually decide whether she wants to have this baby or she wants to get rid of it. Because, for example, if something like that happened to me, I don't know, I wouldn't want to have that baby.
Yeah, that's a serious topic.
So, we shouldn't discuss it. Okay.
State Duma has adopted a law that forbids using obscene language in mass media. From now on, he who violates this law must pay a fee of 2,000 to 3,000 rubles. This law extends to press, radio and television. This is believed to improve the manner of speech and the culture of mass information. However, opinions differ. While the majority of people agree with the idea of such limitation, some of them, mostly writers, journalists or politicians, say that legislation is a rough and not very efficient way to root this problem out, since it is not government that nurtures good manners in people, but society.
They can adopt any laws they want, but I do not think that there would be much difference in the sphere of mass media.
Mm-hmm. Are you pro swearing?
Well, I can't be pro swearing. Of course, there should be some kind of law, some kind of maybe ethical culture, mm-hmm. but I think you can't control it 100%. Because there are so many politicians who do that. There are so many celebrities who swear in public, who like swearing in public. And that's why I think that it will not be 100% effective. But of course I'm against it. I can't be pro-swearing.
Yeah, I myself suppose that there is absolutely no problem. Because if you have a look at the list of TV shows, you will see that in the morning and in the afternoon. They do not broadcast any TV shows where the usage of obscene language would be possible. TV shows like that begin after midnight or after 11 p.m. At that time, children who are most vulnerable, they are all asleep. There is nothing to be afraid of.
I do agree with you, Daniel. Government is not the one that makes this decision. It's actually the society that has to make the decision.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can't really control it. But, for example, I don't really watch TV, although we do have it. Yeah, we have two TVs. I don't know.
I never watched TV when I had it. Right, now, okay. I don't have it, and I miss it. You won't believe it, but I actually miss it because it creates some kind of feeling of comfort, of home atmosphere, you know.
You have a laptop, you can't.
But it's not. Come on, it does not create any atmosphere. So
why? Okay.
Do you do this? I don't know. Sorry, I interrupted you. Go on.
What was I talking about?
You were talking about TV, that you never watch TV, but.
Oh, yeah, right. So once at night, the TV was on, and everyone was asleep, and I don't know, I had some kind of a business in the kitchen that I had to attend.
I like this. I like this. These kinds of business.
So, and I passed by the TV, and it was like horrible language. I can tolerate swearing. I don't know about you guys, but I think that in Russian it sounds more obscene than, for example, in any other languages, yeah, that we know.
I think you are subjective.
Probably, but I don't know. For me, it's I don't know. It's really, really bad when I hear someone swears in Russian. And so there was like a wave, yeah, the whole wave of swearing coming from the TV. Yeah, it was, how do you call it, a comedy club, yeah? That type of show. But it was past midnight.
In respect of these TV shows like Comedy Club, these performers are not responsible for swearing because the company that owns the show is.
Yeah.
Well,
it is for them to decide.
I just think that people like it and they like to watch such shows and hear their favorite words. Awesome. It makes the show even more funny, even more attractive. If there wasn't demand for that, there wouldn't be that much swearing. It's pretty much the same as, you know, when I browse through different English learning groups in VK, I see a lot of posts about swearing, about F words, and hundreds of comments, you know, and I'm just like, why are you guys so much interested in all these F words? Why don't you just start learning English, you know? So I think it's natural curiosity. For some reason, people like it. This is the first thing that they start learning when they start learning a foreign language, actually.
Yeah, and the most horrible thing when you encounter a foreigner and he starts to ask you about swearing, that's a bad word.
Yeah, it was
in the Russian. You can't make yourself pronounce.
I absolutely love these foreigners who are so interested in obscene language in Russian. My friends and I are always so enthusiastic about teaching them the basics of Russian obscenities. Because it is so funny when they pronounce them.
And they have no idea what they actually pronounce.
Yes, sometimes we are that mean.
What do you have?
I only have not very serious news. So if you still have something to tell about in the sphere of politics.
No more politics for today.
Okay.
We have the adventures of the brilliant comrade.
Yes, yes. Oh, so inspired today in the morning. Okay, we'll wait till the end of the podcast and I'm going to read it out for you. I know that you have been waiting for it the whole week. Couldn't sleep.
Couldn't wait.
Yeah. the only thing we thought about. All right. So, men judge women in milliseconds. Men take a fraction of a second to decide if they are attracted to a woman or not, but they should not be called shallow because they are genetically programmed to do so, scientists say. Men weigh up potential partners almost instantaneously based on their appearance because their ancient genetic preference for attractive mates leads them to, experts claim. According to research, a woman with an attractive face is taken by men to be fertile and able to continue the family line, appealing to the man's survival instinct. In contrast, women take longer to decide their feelings for a man because they need to weigh up whether he will be a committed partner who will provide for them part of their survival programming.
I like this, the survival programming.
Very much true, I would say. It is not that every time I see an attacking woman, I think, survive, survive, survive.
Anyway, let's start with Daniil, I guess. Are you...
curious part. Of course, Daniil, yeah. Who else?
Well, Daniil, do you agree with this research? Oh. Is it that fast? Is the process, I mean, of decision-making so fast?
Yeah, it actually is so fast, but in, I would say, 80 or 90% of cases, because sometimes you look at a woman's face, you know, and you see that it is an ordinary face, but when a woman smiles, her face just transforms into a piece of beauty. But in most cases, it is that fast.
Are you attracted to appearance of I'm not even saying potential partner, just in general, of people, when you first meet them? Or is there something else behind the surface which you can maybe read and guess?
Well, I'm not very much of a psychoanalytic, I would say. In the first place, I judge people by some outer signs. It is appearance and the way they behave, the way they laugh, the way they look, for example, some other gestures and mimics. I cannot actually understand much of what is inside a person by a first look, and I actually don't very much like people who claim that they can understand everything about a person just by looking at him.
I don't understand that either. But anyway, do you guys agree that people have the personalities that they deserve?
I agree with what?
People have, oh, I said personalities. Appearances. I don't know why personalities. I was thinking of something else.
People have personalities. People are schizophrenic, of course.
I wanted to say people have the appearances that they deserve. Do you agree?
You mean that their appearance reflects their personality?
Yeah, it not exactly reflects the personality. It is the one that you deserve.
When we had the lessons of literature when we were at school, our teacher talked about, famous poets and writers, and she said that, for example, if you are a person, you know, an enlightened person, yeah, or a writer, an artist, you have some kind of a glow. Like
maybe the eyes.
Or aura. Oh, yes, something like that. It does somehow attract people. So I think that it doesn't matter how you look, actually. It's not the appearance reflects personality. It's vice versa, actually. Yeah, personality affects appearance, I think. So, I don't know. I think that I confuse you somehow.
I understand.
Yeah. What's the first thing that you pay attention to when you see a person?
Well,
a man. A person can mean a man and a woman.
Let's say a man.
A man.
Make it more interesting.
Because you ask me about women, not about person.
Well, that's a difficult question because I am not attracted to the physical beauty of anyone. But at the same time, like Daniel said, there is something, some kind of glamour about the person that you feel from the first moment. But I can always be mistaken in people. I can create my opinion subconsciously. Well, we all do. We all create our opinions of people when we first meet them. But then this opinion may be wrong. This opinion may be right. It transforms with time. But I guess I pay attention to appearance, to the way this man talks, behaves, and maybe being a linguist, I pay attention to his vocabulary.
Mm-hmm. Actually, his speech is most important.
Yeah, because you could tell a lot about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, what else?
Laugh time.
Oh.
Scientists' attention was drawn, though a bit late, by James Cameron's movie Avatar, in respect that he suggested that there could be life not on a planet, but on a moon of a planet. Of course, they don't mean our moon, because it is too far from our planet, and Earth is too small to affect the moon in any considerable way. However, if you take so-called gas giants like Jupiter or Saturn, life on the moons of such planets is possible, and, some believe, more likely than on Earth-like planets. The thing is that the immense mass of a gas giant distorts the underground layers of its moon. Thus, the moon is heated up, which can generate water, and ocean is the cradle of life. For example, it is believed that there is an ocean on Jupiter's moon Europa, though it is encaged by enormously thick crust of ice. Some scientists suppose that there could be life under the ice. I just imagined myself living on the moon of Saturn, on some of 16 moons, and in the morning I look out of the window and see this beautiful gas giant with its rings surrounded by lesser moons and more bright stars.
Does it have an atmosphere?
Well, neither of these moons has an atmosphere, but other moons of other gas giants actually could. Because, you know, it is for scientists, it is very, very hard to locate even extrasolar planet, and it is hardest still to locate moons and to study them. So I suppose only in tens of years will it be possible that moons will be studied, and maybe spacecraft will be sent to moons, and perhaps scientists will find something that will, well, excite us all.
When you read an article and you see that the signs of life were found somewhere on Mars or some planets, you immediately think about not about, you know, small microorganisms, yeah, or bacteria. You think about, well,
people.
Yeah! And it's so disappointing.
Civilization.
Yeah. That's what life means. I don't know, for me.
But you know, these microorganisms, on the other hand, can be taken by, well, these apparatus, and so they can be taken to Earth, and on Earth they could be studied and cultivated, and they may evolve. This is why are they so interesting, I suppose.
Brilliant plot for a new film.
For a new short story.
I'm not a director. I'm a writer.
By the way, Daniel, have you been thinking? Have you been considering the idea of writing a script for a film?
I have several times, but I suppose it is in the future. I should study the way the scripts are written, and only then try to write one. The volume of scripts is close to that of a book, and I haven't written a book yet.
We will be able to actually shoot it, maybe, yeah? When we have...
Of course, by that time we will have a huge corporation.
Of course! Lots of money and opportunities.
And we will be thinking of how to spend our money. So and Daniel, maybe another film, huh?
what do you say?
No, right,
guys, I'm so tired of that. Let's go to Miami this time.
to the Maldives. Why Miami?
To Maldives, correct.
Well, we've been to Maldives 10 times.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's like the first destination.
Yeah. So, like, where to? Maldives?
Again?
Again? Lola, get fucked.
Eating too much corn turns you into a vampire. Corn has been used for centuries, and with time people had to learn to mix it with a few things, or they would turn into vampires. Or at least it would turn Europeans into vampires. Corn was an American food, and the Native Americans knew to mix lime into their corn. Without the lime, calcium hydroxide, things start going bad. Corn contains niacin in an indigestible form, and people who make corn a staple start to suffer from pellagra. Pellagra victims erupt into blisters when their skin is exposed to the sun. They stop being able to digest normal foods. Their tongues turn dark red, making them look like they've been sipping blood. They start staying up nights, not because of some latent vampirism, but because most of them develop severe dementia. The dementia is also associated with aggression. Pellagra also tends to bring on diarrhea, which is not part of most vampire legends, but other signs are there.
I wish it was about zombies.
No, I couldn't find anything about zombies.
I mean, I don't mind eating corn becoming zombie. If it could help me.
No, this idea appeals to me as a writer because I like the way it sounds that vampires are not monsters. They are just very unhappy people, demented people and deceased people. Well, there is a plot for a story too.
I was telling Arsia about the book that I'm still reading. It is by... What's his name? So this is like a trilogy and it's about vampires. I forgot the name of that man.
And Twilight.
It's not Twilight. Of course.
Twilight is not a Twilight. Is not a trilogy.
Exactly.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
Exactly. No. I have never even watched Twilight.
Okay, I'm just kidding. Come on. Relax.
So,
we know that you're not reading Twilight.
And they say that it is a disease, actually. It is brought on by small worms that get into your body. It's like an infection and that turns you into a vampire.
Is it not Richard Matheson, I Am Legend?
No, no.
Ah,
hang on.
Sounds very likely.
Yeah, I watched the movie.
No, it's a Mexican director actually who wrote that. What movie?
I'm Legend.
I'm a Legend. Is it not about zombies?
No, it is about vampires. These bastards, they were baked by the sun rays.
Is it about the one with Will Smith and his dog?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Brilliant Will Smith.
Guillermo del Toro.
The new film by Guillermo del Toro. It's Mama?
It's not the film, the book. Mama. Book about vampires. Come on, concentrate, I'm talking about vampires.
Okay, I got confused.
Vampires and zombies are good.
Right now, part 3 of Adventures of Kim Jong-un, the Brilliant Comrade. After the workout, Kim Jong Irresistible Un called one of his ministers. So, any news about my wife? Well, Supreme Leader, I personally retrieved a letter with capitalist stamps on it from your foreign correspondent's mailbox. For all our liking, it would have been infected with cancer. Remember Chavez? Americans poisoned that Venezuelan buffoon who had an incomprehensible love for berets. And bloody good job they did. Listen, I understand that the internet is an American tool to corrupt the beautiful minds of our people, but you could at least let us use it. You're a brave man, Ching Chong. Take another medal, but no internet for you. Oh, 111th one. Hooray! Kim opened the envelope. There was a piece of paper with letters cut out from the newspaper. Kimmy felt like he was in an action movie with a twisted plot. Whoa, this is getting more and more interesting, he thought. I bet in a few years they will shoot a blockbuster about this and have Sylvester Stallone play me. They will call it Top Un or Kim Jong Ultimatum. Or Robo-Kim, or Kim Jong-Ata. With fresh thoughts, he read the letter. Dear Kim Jong-un, what the hell, not dear, say the truth, the least dear, but whatever. This is your ally, but I'm not going to tell you who I am. Think of me as your Robin. That makes you Batman. No, that's wrong on so many levels. Anyway, the thing is that your wife was kidnapped by the USA government. I don't know where they keep her. She might as well be in a hidden party dungeon under the White House or drinking cocktails in Malibu. So they make you choose. Either you bomb the USA like you planned, knowing your princess is in there somewhere, or you go and look for her the old-fashioned Mario way. Beware that every dog in the country is trained to recognize your smell, so better be prepared. Peace out, yo, your best homie. What the thought came, I don't want to go anywhere. I want a cake. I want to have a long, hot bath with myself. But then the ghost of his father, Kim Jong-il, appeared before him. Nice one, Daddy. Hamlet style, said Kim Jr. Shut up, chubby cheeks, said his father. You are going to take your butt in your hands and carry it all the way to America. But, Dad, you're a big boy now. Actually, you are much bigger than a boy should be. But put on your best smile and do what you are told. Okay, Daddy, but why don't you leave me alone after you're dead? I'm not going to let you ruin my country with your love of cakes, Justin Bieber, and Nike sneakers. Have you put the latest video I made on the internet? It took me the whole week to complete the montage. And you know how stroppy they can get in hell if you do not do your 8-hour shift today. I thought you are one of the bosses there, not with Stalin and Hitler in charge. Those guys can really rock the party. So, what's up with the video? It's gone viral. Nice work on special effects, by the way. For a moment, I thought we did bomb Washington. It just felt so real. I'm telling you, we have to start making it 3D. I'm getting there, son. So, right now, on the agenda. First, you have to disguise as a middle-aged bored businessman. Then, consult with your scientists and get your ass to America. Okay, Dad. To be continued.
If I heard it right, Kim has a wife.
Yeah, it does.
Too bad for you.
Well, you know, like Asian girls, they're not very strong. I think that's her in a fair battle. Okay, and actually, while I was waiting for the recording of the podcast, I found some incredible facts about Kim Jong-un's, how do you call him? Father.
Butter.
So, some incredible facts about Kim Jong-il. Kim Jong-il coached the 2010 Korean World Cup soccer team with an invisible phone. In 2004, Kim Jong-il claimed to have invented the hamburger. His elder son, Kim Jong-nam, once believed to be a designated heir, appeared to have fallen out of favor after being arrested in Tokyo in 2001 while traveling to Disneyland on a forged passport. Kim Jong-il once attempted to ship all the short people out of North Korea. Believe it. In 1978, Kim Jong-il kidnapped director Shin Sang-ok and to make a socialist Godzilla film. There is actually a flower that is named after him, which is called Kim Jong-ilia. Kim Jong-il's favorite movies are Friday the 13th, Rambo, and Godzilla. Kim Jong-il planned to breed giant rabbits to solve North Korea's hunger problems. When he was forced to give up cigarettes for health reasons, Kim Jong-il forced the entire country to do the same, effectively banning them. And Kim Jong-il reportedly injects his body with the blood of virgins in an effort to stay young. And the last one, his biography also says that he doesn't defecate or urinate.
Oh my God. I have some last news. I would like to read a message for us from Christina.
Christina?
Yes, Christina, our most dedicated participant of Finnish Miss Story competition.
She wrote to you?
Actually, she wrote something in our group in VK, but I would like to translate it into English and read it out loud. Mm-hmm. So, Asa in Lightnish, you are magicians. I've been checking my mailbox in hope of finding a notification about the package, but I never received it, and today I forgot to check. So today I received the notification, and my mom brought it to me, but the magic is today I have my birthday. Thank you very much. You have made the best present for me. So, and the picture of Christina. So I guess we should be very happy because we made her happy.
Yeah, That's incredible. I think because we're going to add the audiobook, we have to make some kind of, we wanted to make some kind of an introduction to it.
Yeah. Would you like to make the introduction?
No. No.
Okay, I'm the least person who is involved in the audiobooks projects.
Something at least. So yeah. Do it.
Okay, go ahead and make the introduction.
I'm not going to make an introduction. I haven't prepared.
Okay, dear listeners, Daniel and Landish have been making wonders, recording fantastic audiobooks and making fantastic illustrations for them. So we are going to start an additional episode for each of our regular episodes of our podcasts.
Sub episode,
yeah. With audiobooks written by Daniel. Audiobooks of the books written by Daniel.
Well, there will be not only books written by Daniel.
Oh, and by some other authors as well.
We will, the most important thing that, yeah, some of them will be written by us, by Daniel, yeah.
Maybe by someone else from our team, who knows.
Yeah, yeah. And but the most important thing that we will voice them.
Yeah, and you can also view fantastic illustrations made by Landish for these audiobooks. And I guess all comments are welcome. I've listened to the first part of the book written by Daniel, and I was very much impressed. So I really recommend you to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, is that enough?
Yeah, I think it's enough. Thank you. Right? You're such a great spokesman.
Announcer.
And advertiser too.
Yeah, an advertiser.
All right, and the listeners, you can check our website. I guess I like it.
Yeah.
you can check our website, which is www.linguistof.ru. There are some changes going on. And you can also follow us in VK, vk.com/linguistof. And if you want to study English, you can ask us for that. We are the best teachers. So, anything else?
No, I don't know what I was thinking. No, I think it's enough. All right.
All right.
Thank you, everybody. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, okay. Goodbye.